So this is the fourth part of what I have to say about women, and the second part of today's lecture. And we're now looking then, we're somewhere in the 1970s, and looking at the women's movement. Now, we always talk about the women's movement, or the feminist movement, and that's very vague in a way, because a movement is not like an organization. You cannot count the members and see how much money do they have. So it was a network of very different kinds of organization. And this kind of network was more difficult to organize in the world before internet. That if you wanted to contact people, you had to write them a letter. And so you write a letter, and in the 70s there are no photocopies. So you have a sort of machine where you produce 100 letters, and you have 100 people's addresses, and you put the letters in the envelope, and you put a... I did this, it's very, very hard work, yeah. So the kinds of activity were rather more hard work. Also, if you want to produce a magazine today, well, you have PageMaker and Express, or you can have a blog. It's much easier today. I think it's important to note that the women's movement was not only campaigns. Of course, there were campaigns and demonstrations for equal pay, for the right to abortion, for etc. But there were also a whole load of activities whose aim was to say women are important. Next slide, please. And one of these is Virago. And Virago is a press, a publisher's, c'est une maison d'édition. And Virago was established in the late 1960s or 1970, I think. They had a particular idea. They said, okay, there are a lot of books in the bookshop, novels or history books, etc. And most of them are written by men. So we are only going to publish books by women. That's our job. We're not opposed to books by men, but there are not enough books by women, and so we are going to do this. And here are a few of the books that they produced, sometimes by famous people, Edith Wharton or Zora Neale Hurston, and sometimes by people who were not so famous. And the interesting thing about this press is it was very successful, because the traditional publishers were all managed by old men. It's true. In the 1970s, they were nice old men, but they were old men, and they weren't really interested in encouraging young women writers. So this was one of the successes. And if you look in any person's house in Britain, of the people who like books, they always have a lot of books by Virago, because they're books that, oh right, I didn't know, that's not very famous. Because sometimes books are not very famous because they're not very good, but sometimes books are not very famous because people weren't interested in what women were writing. And so that was example. In cinema, also, there has been very slow progress. Je sais pas si, je crois que c'était il y a deux ans, où toutes les sélections pour Cannes, dans toutes les sélections pour Cannes, il y avait zéro réalisatrice. Zéro. Non, pas une minorité, il y avait zéro. And that shows that even today, it's pretty difficult to make films if you're a woman. But there has been some progress, and perhaps you know, in Créteil every year, there is Le Festival des Films des Femmes. That's in France, of course, but in Britain too. There were also campaigns for changes in schools. So they looked at the history books and the maths books, and they said, do they present men and women in the same way? So that kind of campaign. Moi, j'ai remarqué dans les livres en France, dans les livres de grammaire anglaise, non, pas les livres de grammaire, les exercices de grammaire où celui qui écrit le livre, il invente des phrases pour faire traduire, par exemple, pour illustrer le prétérit. Alors, il invente, oh, il me faut 5 phrases dans le passé. Et c'est l'inconscient qui ressort. Et si vous regardez, c'est à chaque fois, Marie-Claire a fait une bêtise. Jean-Paul a fait quelque chose de génial, parce que c'est l'inconscient qui ressort, hein, et vraiment, on le regarde, et c'est incroyable les exercices de grammaire, à quel point c'est mature. Voilà, c'est un petit exemple. Next, please. In the 1970s, at the very beginning of the 1970s, there was a new law which was called the Equal Pay Act. La loi sur le salaire égal. So, remember, if you have a new law, that's because they needed a new law, because the general situation was that people publicly and openly paid men and women difference. Now, this reform came more from the trade unions. And indeed, in the general election in 1959, the Labour Party's manifesto had proposed the right to equal pay for equal work. However, the Labour Party lost the election in 1959. The Labour Party won the election in 1964. And in 1965, the Trades Union Congress, this is the big confederation of trade unions, declared its support for the principles of equality of treatment and opportunity for women workers in industry. And they call upon the General Council, the committee, to request the government to implement the promise of the right to equal pay for equal work. So, 1965, the trade unions are saying to the government, you promised, why haven't you done passed this work? But it did not happen immediately. It was in 1970, donc 11 ans après la promesse en tout, that the law was passed, equal pay for equal work. Of course, this is very important. However, the situation is a little bit more complicated than that. Because if you look in a trying to decide this, yeah. If you look, for example, at cleaners, des gens qui font le ménage, they find in Britain that the people who clean a hospital are women, and they have low wages, and the people who clean the parks, les jardins publics, are men, and they have quite good wages. So, of course, if a woman worked cleaning a park, she would have the same wages as the men. And if a man worked cleaning a hospital, he would have the same wages as the women. But these two jobs, which are similar, have very different wages. And probably the reason is that one of them, cleaning a hospital, is considered as women's work. So equal pay for equal work is more complicated than just if you have the same job, you have the same pay. Next slide, please. So the women's movement begins in 1968. You have all these debates and activities. It's very multi-form. It's not a single story. It's many, many stories. And of course, there was a lot of opposition to the women's movement. Many people mocked the women's movement, said, oh, yes, they're just stupid, hysterical women. Yeah, like all radical movements are always mocked. That's a general rule. But in the 1970s, there were a series of laws which made a difference. In 1970, the Equal Pay Act. In 1975, the Sex Discrimination Act, which said, for example, if you want to employ somebody to drive a van, quelqu'un pour un livreur, you're not allowed to say, I only want a man. After 1975, it is illegal to say, I only want a man, I don't want a woman. Now, if you have women and men come for the job, you can say, oh, this person is not strong enough, but you cannot say it's because there are women. One of the arguments which was often used against the feminists was, oh, well, men are stronger. This, of course, is sometimes true, but there are many women here who are stronger than me, because I'm old, you know. But so it's a bit ridiculous to have a clear division like that. Other very important questions: 1976, the Domestic Violence Act, this changed the law, which meant that it was possible for, it was easier for a woman to go to the tribunal if her husband was violent. Before this, it was considered to be a domestic problem and not a problem for the law. Yeah, I don't have the details of this law in case, but it changed the situation of domestic violence. And in 1976, for the first time, there was the opening of the foyer, centers for people to live if they were in danger, and in particular if they had been raped. Donc ce sont des centres de centre d'urgence autour de la question du viol. So somewhere for women to go and talk to women. Because one of the big problems that was the case, probably is still a little the case today, but was very much the case 30 years ago, is if you were raped, si vous étiez victime d'un viol, et vous alliez voir la police, vous étiez tellement maltraité que vous n'aviez pas envie d'y aller. Hein? Today, the situation is much better in Britain than it was 30 years ago, because it was not taken seriously, and public opinion considered that if a woman has been raped, well, it might be her fault, etc. This was a very common, you still hear it today, but it was very, very common. Yeah, there has been a change. One of the big changes, very slowly, was the change in the attitude in trade unions. Very often, the strongest trade unions were mostly men workers, and when women workers had a problem, they got a little bit of support from the trade unions in the 1940s, in the 1950s, in the 1960s. They sometimes got support, but just a little. And in the 1970s, this really changed, and the big strike at Grunwick was one of the most important moments. This was a strike of, this is the leader of the strike, the little woman there, yeah? Yeah. She doesn't look dangerous, does she? And there's the policeman, they're watching her because she's dangerous, yeah? And this was a big strike around the textiles. Usine de coton, je crois, de textile. And for the first time, all the trade unions were persuaded to support and very enthusiastically support the strike of women. It was a very important moment. Now, it didn't happen suddenly. What happened was in 1968, 1969, 1970, 1971, etc., inside the trade unions, there were many debates. Oh, well, women's work is not so important because it's the men's money which supports the family. Oh, no, it's not true because many, many debates, years after years. And finally, this moment when there was a big women's strike and the trade unions supported. And today, after the 1970s, the trade unions are at the center of fighting for new rights for women, for one very good reason. Today in Britain, the majority of trade unionists are women. Je crois que 53% des syndicats sont des femmes en Angleterre. Alors c'est un peu normal qu'elles s'en occupent des questions féminines, comme on dit. Now we're still in the 1977, la grève à Grunwick. Now, 1976 and 1977 are also important for another reason, the most important event in the 20th century, punk rock. Okay, that's a personal opinion, okay. Interestingly enough, we always imagine punk rock, well, we often imagine punk rock as a little macho, but in fact it was one of the first types of music where there was space for women. For example, in rock and roll, the space for women instrumentalists, very, very small. Of course, there's Janis Joplin, okay, but you know, she is an exception. And in punk rock, because punk rock was do-it-yourself, yeah, make a music group in your garage. It doesn't matter if you're not very good. That's not important. You need energy, yeah? And so it made it possible to have women groups too. And here are two very famous ones, the Raincoats. I really do recommend this music, it's absolutely excellent. The Raincoats, who sang, and this, ils chantaient des chansons sur l'importance de faire le ménage. Is that kiss because you're my muse fell in my she doch sir? That's the text, of course, which is ironic. And the slits. The raincoats, donc les par-dessus. Pourquoi pas? The slits, the title is vulgar. Okay. it's a part of a woman's body. Okay. So of course, which is normal because punk rock is supposed to shock. Yeah, so that's a normal thing. But very, very interesting music, I think. But this is an important symbol, I think, that punk rock, which was a kind of very dynamic, a little like rap later, but punk rock at the time was very dynamic and different and shocking, and a lot. There was a lot of it. In every town there were 25 punk rock bands. I was a member of a very bad punk rock band for 6 months. Okay, that was really bad. I hope there are no recordings. And so it's an important symbol, I think, that there were women in there as well. Yes, and that's very, very interesting, I think. Whereas, for example, jazz, you could have a woman singer, but women instrumentalists, very, very few, except maybe piano. Okay, next please. Okay, another aspect of the 1970s and 1980s, maybe especially the 1980s, there were a campaign called Reclaim the Nights. And this still exists today. It's not so common today. In the 1980s, you could see this in sometimes every year. And what was it? Well, Reclaim the Night, donc réapproprier la nuit. And basically, it was the idea that if the center of town in Birmingham or Manchester was considered dangerous for women at night, and many women were frightened to go alone at night in the center of town, in the middle of the night. And so every year they had a big demonstration at midnight in the center of town, only women. Say, oh, on se réapproprie la nuit, donc on proteste contre le fait qu'on n'est pas en sécurité en tant que femme dans les rues de la ville la nuit. Et une fois par an, on fait une grande, avec des torches, a demonstration to reclaim the night. So it's obviously symbolic, it's about explaining to people the problem, and also it's also about campaigning for safety, so better lighting, etc. In the street. So this is an important thing. Next, please. Now, in the from 1979 to 1985, so when Margaret Thatcher is now in the government, there was a campaign which was not started by feminists, which was a campaign against nuclear weapons. Tension between Russia and America had risen very quickly. The Russians and the Americans were establishing new nuclear missiles, and people were very frightened indeed. There was a real danger in the early 1980s of an accidental nuclear war. It was a real danger. People were expecting something absolutely terrible. And one of the reactions of the women's movement was to establish peace camps. It's a camp, un camping devant les bases militaires. And Greenham Common was one of the most famous ones. Many of the camps were only for women. They were only for women. So these are protest camps, only for women, in front of military bases. And what they used to do as a protest is they used to go over the fence and go inside the military base and try to find the nuclear weapons. Now, of course, this is dangerous. You can be shot. But from a political point of view, the government did not want to shoot women inside the army bases. It's bad politics. It's a bad image. So, very interesting. This was also a very, very creative movement. One of the things that the women used to do, because the police would come and arrest them, And one of the things that some of the women used to do is they used to disguise themselves in costumes and cover themselves with honey. Donc je vais vous le dire en français. Une des tactiques qu'ils avaient, donc ils envahissaient la base, ils se faisaient arrêter par les flics, mais ils se déguisaient en nounours et ils mettaient du miel partout sur leur corps, sur le costume, et alors les pauvres policiers venaient être couverts de miel et ça passait bien à la télé. Bon, so it was quite a really quite imaginative things. This was the Greenham Common Peace Camp. They had big demonstrations of women only, where they surrounded the entire base. Ils ont encerclé la base et ils chantaient des chansons pacifistes toute la nuit. Hein. So a tremendous atmosphere, very very 1980s. Yes, so very different. The ideas in this movement were very varied. Some of them were Marxists. Some of them were radical feminists. Some of them were pacifists. And some of them said, oh, well, you know, women are naturally peaceful and men are naturally violent. However, with Margaret Thatcher as government, this was not an argument which was standing up very well. Next, please. Yeah, another aspect. So this women's movement, this second wave women's movement, is tremendously wide. You have campaigns and publishing and films and demonstrations and groups of women just to talk about their everyday experience and feminist psychology. It's enormous. And one example is that slowly it found its way into the university. And today in England, perhaps in France, but in France in only one or two places. In England, there are many universities where you can do a degree in women's studies. Vous pouvez faire un master en études de femmes, études féminines. And this is about the history of women and women's literature and women's film, etc. Yeah? This is very common in Britain now. Of course, many universities have a women's studies department. Now, the women's studies department is small, but many universities have them. And whereas I think in France there are two or three, whereas in Britain there are 40 or 50. So this is one of the aspects. And of course, this causes some debates. Some people say, oh, it's not okay to have only women's studies. It makes it impossible to understand society. And other people say, well, people have studied men for many, many years, so now we're going to study women. Yeah, so it's a big debate going on there. So, for example, in a women's studies department, you might look at Shakespeare. You might study Shakespeare, but from the point of view of the presentation of women and from the point of view of the activity of women in the theatre at the time and from the point of view of who went to the theatre. Was it men? Was it women? Etc. Now, of course, this was also the time when Britain had, for the first time in its history, a woman prime minister. And one might imagine that this would be feminist. And in fact, it was not. Margaret Thatcher detested feminists. And just, this is not my opinion, you can see here 1980, Margaret Thatcher and all her ministers. Donc Margaret Thatcher et tous ses ministres. C'est le premier Premier ministre depuis 50 ans à avoir aucun ministre femme sauf elle-même. C'était que tous les premiers ministres hommes avaient au moins deux ministres femmes. And here, she was absolutely, here they all are, there are no women at all. So, I don't think it's controversial to say that Margaret Thatcher was not a feminist. However, it may be, I don't know, some people say that the symbol of having a woman prime minister was useful. Because it's true, there has never been a woman president of the United States. And many people think that today, having a black prime minister of the United States, black president of the United States, is an important symbol. Yeah, you might like what he does or not like what he does, but it changes something in people's minds. During the 1980s, there were other big changes in Oxford University and in Cambridge University. many of the Cambridge University and Oxford University are divided into colleges. And many of the colleges were only for men. I went to Cambridge University in 1979, and you had 78% men and 22% women at the time. And during the 1980s, this changed, and I think today there is a majority of women at Cambridge University. Next, please. Qu'est-ce qu'il est en train de faire là? Il est en train de bousiller votre cœur. A few more samples. Il veut une augmentation de salaire, ce gars. A few more symbols. This is Stella Remington. These are just symbols, yeah? Does anybody know who she is? Directrice de MI5, donc des renseignements généraux. Not today. In the 1990s, she was the first woman leader of MI5. Donc vous avez vu que dans les films de James Bond, ils sont en retard. Ils ont eu une femme M pour la première fois, 15 ans après dans la réalité. So Stella Remington, a woman leader of the spy organization, which is... these are important symbols there, that the number of jobs which people said women can't do that has fallen a lot. Sometimes it takes an entire generation. Souvent quand il y a le premier changement et les femmes ont le droit de faire un tel travail, parfois il faut 20 ans avant d'avoir assez de femmes, beaucoup de femmes qui ont envie. Parce qu'il faut le temps que ça passe dans les mentalités, que c'est normal de faire un travail comme ça. Je ne sais pas si vous voyez les gens qui s'occupent des jardins entre le métro et ici. Il y a deux femmes et huit hommes. Même il y a 15 ans, je pense qu'il y avait zéro femme. Hein, parce qu'ils avaient le droit, mais tout le monde, tous leurs amis, toutes leurs copines leur disaient, pourquoi tu fais ça, c'est pas un truc de mec. Il y avait encore des attitudes. Ok, next please. One of the most famous, this is Tracy Emin. She is one of the most famous contemporary artists, une des artistes contemporaines britanniques les plus connues. And on the next slide, this is one of her works. This is a work of art by Tracy Emin. And you can see that it's written in capitals, so it's quite loud. And it says, I do not expect to be a mother, but I do expect to die alone. It doesn't have to be like this. Okay, she went out like a 40-watt bulb. Love to the end. My brains are all split up. So this is a piece of contemporary art, so it's not necessarily easy, but let me help you a little bit. This is made with, c'est un peu du point de croix. La broderie. Okay. Now, embroidery. Now, normally, embroidery is a very feminine activity. Yeah, that's the tradition. Normally, if you see words in embroidery, what does it say? I love my family, or home sweet home, yeah, or may God protect this house. Yeah, very homely, very traditional, feminine, soft. And so the important thing about this is you have embroidery, which is a symbol of feminine tradition, home. But it says, I do not expect to be a mother, but I do expect to die alone. Which is words which are a big contrast with the thing. So le texte, ça fait plus chanson punk. Je m'attends pas à devenir mère, mais je m'attends tout à fait à mourir toute seule. So it's a bit a sort of punk style in capital letters, which contrasts with the embroidery. Okay, so that's what's happening with you. You're getting two messages at once. I like it. Next, please. This is another piece of work of art by Tracy Emin. It's a tent, and inside are names, and it says toutes les personnes avec qui j'ai jamais partagé un lit. Qui comprend les copines d'enfance, les petits copains, etc. Yeah. Okay. It's contemporary art. Welcome to the contemporary art world. Next, please. There are other very important jobs which are now taken by women as well. Now, in France, although many people in France are not religious, France is generally a Catholic country. The biggest religion is Catholic. And of course, in the Catholic Church, if you want a position of responsibility as a woman, it's very difficult, because the priests are all men and the bishops are all men. Although some changes are being made. The Pope said last week, we need more women theologians. Le Pape a dit la semaine dernière, nous avons besoin de davantage de théologiennes femmes, d'experts en théologie femmes. Okay. Now, for accidental reasons, the Church of Britain is more a Protestant country. I'm a Catholic, but most English people are Protestants. And the Church of England has been one of the, not one of the first, but one of the biggest churches to accept women priests. And so here you have a woman priest and pastor, femme donc. And at the end of 1997, 6% of clergy, or 426 altogether, were women. And in 2007, 15%, or 974, were women. So today in Britain, 15% of Anglican priests, de l'Église d'Angleterre, pas des cathos, nous on a aucun, are women. Now, that, I think symbolically that's a very important difference, even for people who are not religious, because the idea that only men can talk to God is symbolically a big thing, yeah? Don't worry, I will tell you what God tells me, don't worry. Okay, yeah, so that's an important difference. Now, there have also been changes in the Catholic Church in England. I know the Catholic Church in England. Women cannot become priests, because that's the Pope's decision. But inside the church, very often you have women as priests' assistants. So, for example, in a Catholic church, of course, when you have Mass, you receive bread. Yeah, you receive bread. And the bread is distributed by men and women in the church today. Now, it may sound not very important, distributing bread. But symbolically, that's very important to Catholic churches, that women have more of a role today. However, more difficult, so that's religion, more difficult, cinema. At the moment, if you look at the top films, les films britanniques qui font le plus d'argent, qui font le plus d'entrée, 6% are directed by a woman. 6% des grands films populaires sont en britannique sont réalisés par une femme. Alors c'est pas énorme, hein, il faut 6%, c'est pas 20%, c'est 6%. C'est-à-dire que l'Église d'Angleterre est loin en avant l'industrie du cinéma. Okay, so it's an interesting thing. So, certainly, there is some time yet. Next, please. Now, to go back to the question of equal pay, the law of 1970 said, if you are a secretary woman and you are a secretary man, you must have the same wages. However, in some sectors of society, there has been more progress. And I will read this in a moment, but basically the trade unions have insisted that there should be equal pay for comparable work. Donc les syndicats ont insisté qu'il faut salaire égal pour des travaux comparables. C'est-à-dire justement que si ceux qui nettoient un hôpital et ceux qui nettoient un jardin public, on va insister que, même si c'est tous des hommes et des femmes, ils doivent avoir des salaires similaires, ou sinon qu'il y a une raison. D'accord, dans le jardin public, on a des problèmes de météo, hein, d'accord, mais bon, que ce soit basé sur quelque chose, et pas simplement sur la tradition, c'est tous des hommes, alors on les a bien payés, c'est toutes des femmes, alors on les a mal payés. So that's a new idea, just now, yes? So in 1999, trade unions negotiated single status job evaluation. This means that all the jobs must be compared. What do you need to know? How difficult is it? How much energy do you need, etc.? All of the jobs must be compared, and you cannot have different wages just for traditional reasons. Single status job evaluation for local government, hoping that this would enforce the Equal Pay Act without needing to take numerous pay claims to the Industrial Tribunal. Single status was intended to establish whether jobs were of equal value and bring in a pay model which would remove the need for equal pay claims. So this is different, you see. Before this, one woman who worked cleaning a hospital could go to a tribunal and say, my job is the same as cleaning this park. Why am I not paid? But it must be an individual question in front of a tribunal. With this new decision, the employer is obliged to compare everybody, even if they don't go to a tribunal. So it's a little complicated, but it moves things forward. However, this only applies in local government. Donc on parle là que des gens qui travaillent pour les municipalités. C'est dans les autres, dans le ministère ou dans le secteur privé, ça s'applique pas pour l'instant. Hein? So this was something which the trade unions managed to win. Next slide, please. Here you have a picture of a demonstration from 2008, which shows that the rape crisis centres, donc les centres de conseil pour d'urgence pour les femmes violées, that continues to be important today. They were invented in 1976, and 32 years later, they are still have a certain success. Next, please. And here on a trade union demonstration, you have a banner for the women in the trade union. And I mentioned to you a few minutes ago that very often in a trade union, every year you will have a special weekend only for women to talk about the women's problems. You talk about a women's section in a trade union. Also, quite often in a trade union, dans les syndicats, ils ont des sièges réservés sur le comité central du syndicat pour les femmes. Donc il y a deux places pour les femmes pour s'occuper particulièrement de ces questions-là. So these are things which have come from these movements little by little. Next, please. I just wanted to mention this. This is, in fact, a television program, a comedy television program, and I recommend it. You can find it on YouTube. And what happens is this wonderful actress, she is a priest, a woman priest, and she arrives one day. There is a small village in England, a very traditional village, and their priest dies, and they are waiting for the new priest. And you understand, the new priest arrives and it's a woman. And the whole village is completely shocked. It's extremely funny, very, very funny. This is Dawn French, one of the best comic actresses in Britain. Have a look at this on YouTube, you'll have a great time. You can practice your English and laugh at the same time. So, in the year 2000s, in the last 10 years, the last 15 years, it has been suggested that traditional ideas about men and women have been rising again. This is difficult to measure. But certainly this book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, is extremely popular and sells millions. And it represents the idea that men and women are naturally different. Yeah? So it's a relatively traditional view. Of course, it's very controversial book. But the important thing is, it's extremely successful. I must admit, I haven't read it. Next, please. There also have been, in the last 10 or 15 years, two or three new laws about women, and here is one of them. The Sex Discrimination Election Candidates Act 2002 is an act of the Parliament of the United Kingdom. The purpose of the act was to exempt the selection of candidates in parliamentary elections from the provisions in the Sex Discrimination Act 1975. that outlaw sexual discrimination. The purposes of the Act allow political parties to select candidates based on gender in an effort to increase representation of women in British politics. Now, I don't know if you know, but in France, in elections, very often, when you have a list of candidates, you must, by law, have one man, one woman, one man, one woman, one man, one woman. That's the law. You cannot choose anybody you want. And that's the reason for that is to encourage more women. And this is a law in Britain, 2002, for the same reason. Avant 2002, si le parti travailliste avait une élection partielle, et il disait, bon, on a vraiment très peu de femmes députées actuellement, alors on veut une femme. On veut que des candidats femmes, on va choisir entre une groupe de femmes. C'était illégal avant 2002, parce que la loi contre la discrimination sexuelle l'interdisait. Alors cette loi permet, lors des élections, de décider, oui, voilà, on veut une femme parce qu'on n'a pas assez, alors on va inviter des candidatures seulement féminines. C'est maintenant légal. And this is sometimes done. And you can see at the bottom, the Labour Party has used the law to operate all women's shortlists. All women's shortlists, ça veut dire un appel à candidature réservée aux femmes, donc. So this is a recent law. Next, please. But perhaps the most important law is the Gender Equality Duty, which was established in 2006. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked to you about the fact that public organisations are obliged to promote racial equality. And in the same way, public organisations, hospitals, local governments, universities, etc., etc., are obliged to actively promote gender equality. It's not enough to simply say, oh, we don't discriminate. So if you have a hospital with 1,000 workers and 50 managers and only 2 women managers, the hospital is obliged to do something. It's not very precise what, but they are obliged to show their activity. So what is the Gender Equality Duty? The Equality Act 2006 amends the Sex Discrimination Act to place a statutory duty on all public authorities. Statutory duty, obligatory duty. When carrying out their functions, to have due regard to the need to eliminate unlawful discrimination and harassment, and to promote equality of opportunity between men and women. So if you don't have enough women managers, you must try hard to get some more. Notice, to repeat myself, this is not a quota system. They do not say you must have 30% women, no. They say you must be active in encouraging women. So to use the same example I used a few weeks ago, if you want a new manager, the committee to recruit the new manager will be half men, half women. Because when you have committees with only men, they choose men. It's been demonstrated. Or also, you might have special training courses. Are there any women who want to be a manager? We will have a special training course only for women to help you. Okay, that kind of thing. Next slide, please. And here are some of the details. There are also specific duties. These specific duties, in brief, are every public organisation is obliged to prepare and publish a gender equality scheme. Every public organisation is obliged to gather and use information on how the public authorities' policies and practices affect gender equality. Every public organisation is obliged, etc., etc. Those are the obligations. But, of course, the weakness, well, of course, some people think this is a bad idea, huh? But the people who think it's a good idea know there is a weakness. It's only public organisations. Private companies can do what they want. Next, please. And one final change in the law. In October 2014, there was a new amendment which forced employers who lost a gender pay gap tribunal to undergo an equal pay audit. Je vais vous expliquer ça. Si dans un hôpital, le même hôpital, il y a une femme qui va au tribunal et dit on ne me paye pas assez parce que je suis une femme, si elle gagne, tout l'hôpital est obligé de passer une inspection pour égalité de salaire dans tout l'hôpital. Okay? So it's a matter of, it's a way of trying to ensure that people who are too frightened to go to a tribunal, that's a lot of people, benefit from this. Next, please. So, just a few words now, and thank you for your patience, just a few words now about the third wave of feminism, la troisième vague du féminisme, in the last 10 years. So remember, the first wave was the suffragettes, etc. The second wave was the 1970s and 1980s. And the third wave is today. And probably the most influential organization is the Fawcett Society. And here is a demonstration of the Fawcett Society. So this is a much more traditional organization campaigning for equal rights for women. Next slide, please. And one of their campaigns was rather unusual. And they sell these T-shirts. This is what a feminist looks like. Voilà ce à quoi ressemble une féministe. And the idea was to combat stereotypes of feminists and to have a lot of ordinary people wearing these. And in particular, they asked personalities, famous people, to wear the T-shirts and have their photograph taken. What was perhaps a little original is they asked men and women to do it. Next slide, please. So here you have the leader of the Labour Party today, Ed Miliband, and the leader of the Liberal Party, Nick Clegg, wearing a T-shirt saying, "This is what a feminist looks like." So this is something rather different from the 1970s, when I think that it was generally considered that feminists must be women. And indeed, in the 1970s, sometimes people talked of men as pro-feminist. You're not feminist, but in favor of feminism. It seems that the word feminist has become much more popular and institutionalized, because this would be absolutely impossible 20 years ago. This man will probably be the next prime minister. This man is the present deputy prime minister. It's also a slightly unusual campaign, because the T-shirt does not say, "I support equality for women." It says, "I am a feminist." And whereas this word is debated, many people have different definitions of what a feminist is. And in particular, normally Marxists say they are in favor of women's liberation, but they are not feminists. So this is a little bit controversial. Next, please. So there you get another demonstration here. In this case, this is a demonstration against violence against women, une manifestation donc contre la violence faite aux femmes. Next, please. So, feminism and women's issues have not finished. Certainly, important changes were made in the 1970s, and then I think that there have been slow changes in mentality. And so today, there is a much bigger choice for women in what job they do. And there have even been changes in the home. Men do more housework than 30 years ago, but even today, women do much more housework than men. So here are just three books from today to give you an idea. This one is 50 Shades of Feminism, of course, a play on words with that rather strange book, 50 Shades of Grey, which is often considered as 50 Shades of Grey is often considered as reintroducing traditional ideas about men and women. So 50 Shades of Feminism is kind of response, of course, humorous. Teaching Men to be Feminists, with a slightly unusual choice of photograph. I don't. It's just. I guess it's a way of selling books. So, mais avec un peu de chance, l'homme qui a envie d'être féministe n'a pas besoin d'une photo d'une fille à poil sur la couverture. Non, c'est un peu ça le principe. And finally, over here, reclaiming the F words. Traditionnellement, le mot qui commence par F, c'est un gros mot de quatre lettres. So here, this is a joke. The F word, feminism. Ok, écoutez, merci beaucoup d'avoir écouté. C'est la femme pour les femmes, je veux dire, c'est la femme pour le sujet des femmes. La semaine prochaine, c'est le dernier cours et je vais parler de l'histoire de l'identité homosexuelle en Angleterre.